that sea level changes caused by the last ice age mitigate against the probability of plesiosaurs surviving in Loch Ness. This might help explain the ever-increasing popularity of fantasy films, novels, video games, and stories brought to us in virtual reality. Thankfully, not everything in life can be pegged out, nailed down, sucked dry of its secrets, and turned into a factoid. Mysteries do still exist, and unsolved mysteries, to burnish a tautology, continue to tease us. The 20 mysteries we look at in this book explore a broad spectrum of strangeness. Each, in its own unique way, presents a challenge. Some, like the sudden disappearance of the sailing ship Mary Celeste's passengers and crew, have gained universal currency. Others, like the WOW signal, are much more recent and perhaps a bit less well known. Cryptids like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster teeter on the boundaries of probable and improbable, hoax and reality, fact and fiction. Skeptic or believer, the fun lies in probing them. The Shugborough Code. What is the meaning of the Shugborough Code, the 10-letter inscription carved into the base of a sculpture at Shugborough Hall in Staffordshire, England? For more than 250 years, the mystery has remained unsolved. In order to help explain it, we need to go back to one of the greatest and most daring voyages in British naval history. Rain lashed HMS Centurion, reducing visibility to less than a mile. Then, as quickly as it had pounced, the squall lifted. High in the crow's nest, the lookout wiped his eyes. He had glimpsed something through a gap in the grey curtain. Or had he? He stared at the horizon, waiting for the man-of-war to overtop the seething, grey-green shoulder of the next wave. As it lifted, and then hung for a moment, he raised the glass to his eye for a second look. There was no mistake. Smack on the horizon, the intermittent flash of a sail. A t'gallant, stretched tight to catch the strengthening wind. Cupping his hands, the lookout leaned and shouted, "Ship ahoy! Fine on the starboard bow!" On the quarterdeck, Commodore George Anson felt a great surge of relief and resolve. He had gambled everything on this moment, his career, his reputation, and his personal fortune. Let it not be some sluggish merchantman with nothing but foodstuffs in her hold. Let this be the prize he'd been seeking for these many months. With no outward show of the excitement he felt within, Anson gave the order to make all sail. On her present course, the stranger was heading away from the Centurion. His task was to overhaul her and fight. Things had not started well for Anson's squadron. It was made up of 6 men of war, the flagship HMS Centurion, a fourth rate of 1,005 tons, 400 men and 60 guns. His Majesty's ships Gloucester and Severn, both 853 tons, 300 men and 50 guns. HMS Pearl, 600 tons, 250 men and 40 guns. HMS Wager, 599 tons, 120 men and 24 guns. And the nimble little sloop, Trial, 200 tons, 70 men and 8 guns. 2 merchant vessels, the Anna and the Industry, ferried supplies. The flotilla weighed anchor from St. Helens off the Isle of Wight on the 18th of September 1740 and set sail into a contrary wind. Anson's orders were to capture and ransack one of the Spanish treasure ships that crossed the Pacific annually from Acapulco. Their lordships of the British Admiralty also wanted the squadron to take the port of Callao and the Peruvian capital Lima by force, incite and lead a popular Peruvian revolution to overthrow Spanish rule, capture Panama with all of its treasure, and use his best endeavours to annoy and distress the Spaniards, either at sea or land, by sinking, burning, or otherwise destroying all their ships and vessels you shall meet with. In his spare time, the Commodore was also to capture Manila. Their lords of the Admiralty were very good at making demands. They were very bad